Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This
7:12. We're hanging out here with Frank Sinatra and Joe and Cindy Farini with My Marriage Matters. And they're going to help us all get our marriages more, you know, more secure and strong in the Lord. And we're glad to have them back today. Thanks for coming, you guys.
Thank you for having
me. Good morning. Good to be here.
Last week, we talked about the importance of being in Scripture and being filled with the Holy Spirit and to help protect one's mind. But what about this week? What else is what do we got to know about this week for a fair-proofing our marriage?
Sure. Well, as we said last week, we are responsible for 100% of our actions, no matter what our spouse says or does. But the reality is, as we said last week also, is that we're never going to find that 100% of the time we're going to be happy and content in all aspects of our marriage. That's just a fact. But we also know that not being happy and content in our marriage is not a biblical reason to have an affair or a divorce. Yet more and more, Cindy and I think we can tell you that we're hearing more and more of Christians getting divorced because of that reason. They're not happy or content anymore in their marriage. And we would suggest for today that during those times, you might want to remember those things that brought you together as a husband and wife. What were those things that attracted you to one another? And why did you fall in love with your spouse in the first place? So asking those types of basic questions are really important. You know, as I thought about this that issue, I was reminded of what it says in Revelations 2, verses 1 through 7. And there the Apostle John, writing to the church in Ephesus, tells them basically that from the outside church, you're looking pretty good. But he goes on to say that to the Ephesian church, that this one thing I have against you is that you've lost your first love. And John goes on to say that in verse 5, therefore remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds that you did first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent, unquote. Now, if I was to put a Joe Perini paraphrase on that passage, it would be something like this. Jesus says to the Ephesians, don't let me come down there. Remember your first love. Remember those things that made you fall in love with me, and then repent of those things, of your deeds and your thoughts. And same is true of our spouses. If you would begin thinking more about why you fell in love with Jesus in the first place and repent of any time you're thinking of turning away from him, that should be motivation, I think, to not want us to move into an affair. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the key things we need to be talking about today is just the importance of developing a servant heart and a good attitude towards our spouse and loving them as Christ loves the church.
Yeah.
And if we're not doing those things, what begins to happen is there begins a steady drift toward isolation in our marriage, which would make us open to affairs. And I guess what we want to say today as well is that really the battle is for the mind. If your mind is under the control of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be less inclined to consider pursuing an affair. And at the same time, you'll be going to be better able to protect your heart as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's something that people say a lot, you know, guard your heart. But what does that mean? Mom, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. Well, you know, when we were talking about this, we took a walk the other day, and I said to Dad, I said, so, you know, what would keep each of us from having an affair mm-hmm. by protecting our heart? And one of the things he said is, and I agree, he says, you know, when I begin to think about what would happen, like just the legacy of our marriage, the legacy of our family, the ministry we've been involved in, that's the kind of thing that we should all be thinking and then saying, like, so what are my objectives then? And how would I protect my heart? And so I want to just say, you know, it's not about the family dynamic so much, like, oh, he doesn't make me happy or he doesn't come home from work on time or any of those superficial kinds of things. It's more about saying, you know, what am I going to do when I am in the presence of another person? So for me, when I'm in the presence of another man, how am I going to protect my heart? And a couple of things. One of the things, I'm not going to be flirtatious. You know, I can have a nice time, be fun, be funny, but there's a cross between, and we all know when it is because we can see when other people do it. We don't always know or pay attention or admit if we're the one that is doing it because we've seen this happen. But not being flirtatious where you're, you know, sort of engaging with another person in a way that really you should be engaging with your spouse when you've crossed that line. And another thing too is just I'm very careful of eye contact, because I feel like if we really dwell and stay looking at a person, sometimes our eyes say different things even than we're saying. And so I think in protecting our heart, we're very careful in the presence of someone else how we are coming across to them. And we just have to be very, very careful. Maybe it's also in the way that we dress, especially mm-hmm. women. And so those are three things that sort of come to my mind initially.
Mm-hmm. Then how, this is for either of you, how do we counter it when someone might be trying to get to know us better and maybe have more of an emotional relationship with us?
Well, another way that you can counter someone trying to, if you will, touch our heart is to be accountable to people that truly care about you.
Mm-hmm.
I recall the time early in my practice that I needed to hire somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that we hired someone was, you know, they had to fill out an application. If they looked good on paper, then we would have them in for an interview. First, they had to meet with the office manager. Then the same day, they would meet with me as well and be mm-hmm. interviewed by me. Well, this person that was being interviewed looked pretty good on paper. But when she came in, I began to wonder what she thought she was being interviewed for. I mean, she came in with a short skirt and low top dress, and physically she was very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after that interview, I told my office manager that she seemed very qualified for the job, at mm-hmm. which point in time my office manager took the application and tore it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, what that point here is that my office manager could see things that I wasn't able to see very clearly as a guy.
Mm.
And I know, Cindy, you have the rest of the story on this one.
Yes, well, interestingly, the office manager felt, I don't want to say too much, because you never know who's, you know,
right,
this person
right.
may be listening, you know. And maybe they are a Christian now. I don't think at the time they probably were. But what happened was probably 3 to 5 years later, I actually re-met this person. And she had actually married someone who I believe they probably had some kind of a relationship with, and he was already married,
mm-hmm.
based upon some things that this person had said. And I was just like, wow, this was something that really, I was so thankful for the office manager, who was a bit older than us, quite a bit older than us, that could have been our parent at the time. And I was just so appreciative that she was really watching out for Joe's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, she was watching out for my heart, too. And so sometimes I think, you know, when we see somebody starting to go down that path, and, you know, we all see it. That person may not see it,
sure.
but they start to look different. They start to talk differently. They start to, you know, put their husband or their wife down. They, you know, so the point in all this, I think, really is for us to, we need to guard our heart, but we also need to have people around us who are willing to also take that step and say, hey, friend, that doesn't look good. You know, you should not be taking a drive in the car with that friend. They may just be a friend. That is not acceptable in marriage. So you really have to protect your heart. And again, as I think I mentioned last week, when we begin sharing things with someone of the opposite sex that belongs with our husband, we're exposing our heart to them. And that opens us up to the emotional part of having an affair.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful words and a really impactful story, you guys. Thanks so much once again for your wonderful advice. How can folks get connected to you if they'd like to?
Well, we'd love to have them come to Facebook at My Marriage Matters, where this segment will air probably tomorrow. We'll post it. Thanks to Ron.
Thanks, John.
And so My Marriage Matters on Facebook. Come and like us there. And then if someone has a question, the best place to reach us for asking a question would be our website, either joefarini.com or cindyfarini.com.